Hey, filmmakers, welcome to the very first Film Aspire podcast of 2013. Happy New Year. 2 weeks late. Been a little under the weather, and I decided it was kind of difficult to do an internet radio show when you can't speak. So we're all better now, and we're looking forward to a grand new year of wonderful podcasts. First of all, some station identification. If you don't know, you're listening to the Film Aspire podcast at filmaspire.podomatic.com. You can also find us at iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and at filmaspire.com. My name is Herschel Zond, your host. How's everybody doing? It's been an exciting 2 weeks here in the beginning of the year. Been hard at work on a few projects and gotten a lot of new things coming up with our new company, FYL Entertainment. And I'm going to go ahead and start the show off with a nice plug for my Partner in Crimes podcast, the Acting for Your Life podcast, actingforyourlife.podomatic.com, actingforyourlife.org. That's the podcast of Catherine Ray Furrow, acting guru. And if you don't already subscribe to her podcast, you should be doing so, as well as the Film Aspire podcast. And a little bit of exciting news here right at the top of the show. Catherine and I, as I mentioned in a couple podcasts back, have joined forces in FYL Entertainment, bringing Acting for Your Life and Film Aspire together to provide an educational resource center for artists of both disciplines, of the acting discipline, of directing, filmmaking, theater, all kind of things rolled into one. And we are going to be, hopefully starting tomorrow, once a month doing a joint podcast with the both of us that will appear on both channels, the Acting for Your Life channel and the Film Aspire channel, where we will talk about various topics that are brought up between the two of us and what we're doing and going through, or what listeners send into us. So if you have anything that you would like us both to have a go at, send it to a message to filmaspire@live.com or FYL Entertainment at live.com. Both places we will get back to you as soon as we can. So, we're 2 minutes in, and I haven't told you what I'm going to talk about today, and that is setting yourself up for success. And there's a lot of things that can go into this, but the impetus behind this podcast was that I was having a conversation with a filmmaking friend of mine recently, and they were telling me about this new project that they have going on. They've got a new script. They're really excited about it. And they're trying to get themselves into a major film festival, one of the bigger film festivals. And they were telling me all about it, and they said they were going to shoot in March, and I thought that was a pretty lofty goal there, but they were telling me more, and I was listening, and they told me what their budget was. And then I was just kind of inquiring about their budget and their investors and all that, and I asked them if they were going to be doing a social media funding source, a crowdfunding source, something like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and they told me no, they had private investors. And I said, well, how much money have you raised so far? And they said, nothing. And I said, you're going to film in March? And they said, yeah, we'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine. That's setting yourself up for failure. I have a very good friend that I work with in my day job that says people never plan to fail. They just fail to plan. He's a financial advisor, a guy named Charlie. Love him to death. If, as a filmmaker, you don't plan and give yourself adequate time to plan out all the details that you have to plan out, you are setting yourself up for failure, which is not what we want to do. We want to set ourselves up for success. So how do we do that? A lot of it is understanding your own abilities, what you can do, and understanding the abilities of the individuals that you have partnered yourself with. And then taking that into account, you've got to figure out what you still need. This group of individuals doesn't really have a crew yet. They don't really know what they're shooting on. They don't really know who's going to be in the film. And they're wanting to shoot within 90 days. Now, a film like this, that's not a running gun, low budget horror film, zombie film, action film thing that you're just going to go kind of run out and do off the cuff, it requires a lot of preparation in the performance and figuring out where you're going to shoot, how you're going to shoot. And I'm sure they're thinking about all these things. But setting yourself up with such a short pre-production period can really be a detriment. Catherine and I are working on a rather big project this year that we are looking into sending to the major film festivals, but we're also giving ourselves 10 months worth of pre-production because it's going to take that much time to get all the planning done, all the locations, all the costumes, all this, all that. There's a lot of things you have to go into it. Went and saw Les Mis this past week and was marveling at the credits. I always like to watch the credits because, that shows you how many people it takes to put together something as monumentally large as a film like Les Mis. And I just was blown away at how many people that film employs. And by the way, if you're an artist out there that says that there's no work, especially a filmmaking artist, that says there's no work out there for artists, that's crap. There's work. You just have to go find it. You know, we're in a business that the work doesn't come to us. We have to go and actually seek out, audition, apply for all of these jobs. But you got films like Les Mis coming out, 20, 30 of them a week. And each one of those films can employ a few hundred people. So there are jobs available. It's just a matter of going to where the jobs are and being willing to maybe do jobs that you don't want to do for a couple of films. Because you're generally not going to walk onto the set the very first time on your first union film and you're going to be the director. That's very rare. Try being a PA, try being a grunt, try moving up the food chain for a few years, and then you might get a chance to be an assistant director for a few more years. Then you eventually might become a director. That's generally how it goes. It's very rare that somebody's going to walk on sight unseen and get that director job. It happens, but it's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. You have to work yourself up. That's another way you can set yourself up for failure, is expecting too much too soon. Always shoot for the high marks. You know, a pole vaulter doesn't, you know, vault over a 20-foot pole the very first time out. They work themselves up. You can try, and there is something to be said for trying and failing, but to teach you character and to get you to persevere, there's all of those things. But you have to set yourself up with realistic expectations and grow from those. If you come up with the same expectation of yourself every single time, we're going to make this movie and submit it to the local film festival again, and you continue to do that, you'll get bored, and then you're not really setting the bar high. You can become complacent. Success and complacency are two very, very different things. You should always be striving for something bigger, better, but you need to understand that it's going to take time. Time in your films are very important, and I've recommended the book before on the show, but there's a wonderful book by Ralph S. Singleton called Film Scheduling. Great resource for really understanding how long it takes to do the different processes in the filmmaking process. I highly recommend that. You'll learn as you go, especially if you're a first-time filmmaker and you're just starting out, that the time is going to be based on your proficiency and the proficiency of those that you work with. So really use that as your litmus test and know that it's going to take a while. The film I'm working on right now has taken me 2 years to make, Wish for the Dead. We were actually supposed to shoot our very last scene on December 29th, and unfortunately we had snow. It was an exterior scene, and we had one location that we had decided to use, and we really didn't go look for any others, and, well, we got snowed out, and I could have gone ahead with it and dealt with a continuity issue, but I decided to hold off. It's been 2 years. We've been working really hard to get this film made, and we were going to wait a little longer. You could say that not having a secondary location was my fault and failure in failing to plan, but I have a set of shots that I'm trying to put together based on that location, and it's what I want, and it's what we're going to make happen. So that is a success in and of itself in being patient enough to wait. You should always have multiple locations. The issue we're having there is we've had to take such a long time with that film that we're having to be very conscious of the weather changes from scene to scene, and that's something you also have to think about. It's a quality issue when you're talking about things like that with your continuity. So there's a lot of things to set yourself up for success, and the more planning you do, it'll always come back to that, no matter how far off topic I might get one direction or another. Planning will always equal success. The more you plan, the more successful your shoot's going to be. Now, there is a such thing as over-planning, and you can plan so much that you spend all of your time planning and you don't actually make a movie. That is also not a good thing. You don't want to be doing that. But taking the adequate time to slow down and plan out what you're doing, you will never go wrong with that. I had to recommend that to somebody a few months ago. They were just all gung-ho to make this movie, and they hadn't done any of the right planning. They hadn't done any, I mean, and I always advocate there is no right way. You have to find your own right, but there are certain things you do need to do, and whether you plan it, you know, by writing it all down on a piece of paper as opposed to writing it out in an Excel spreadsheet, you still have to do the planning. There is no one particular way to do the planning, but you still have to do the planning. And the problem there was that person was not doing any of the planning. And lo and behold, the project fell apart. So there's an object lesson for you. When you fail to plan, It's just as good as planning to fail. So don't do that. You always want to be setting yourself up for success. So I'm going to wrap this thing up. Thank you for tuning in to our first Film Aspire Friday of the new year. If you have any questions, comments, or show topic suggestions, please don't hesitate to drop me a line to filmaspire@live.com and look for the first FYL joint podcast coming at you sometime here in the next couple of days. I think we're going to get to record it tomorrow, but don't hold me to that. Have a great weekend of shooting, make some movie magic, and get out there and tell your story.